The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
And so it's time for Books of the Year. We'll be doing non-fiction next week with Pascal Donoghue, who is back again, as he always is with us for non-fiction books. But tonight we're doing fiction. And we're joined by Breda Brown, who is the presenter and producer of the Inside Books podcast and is chairperson of the Irish Writers' Centre. And also by Kevin Power, who is the writer of what would be one of my favourite novels of 2021, which he couldn't put on his own list, but I'll put it out there for him, White City. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a million, Matt.
Now, let's go through what the two of you have selected. And Breda, let's start with you. You've gone for Louise Neilan and Snowflake.
Louise Neilan is a debut author from Kildare, and this is just a gorgeous book. It's very much a coming-of-age story. It's about a girl, an 18-year-old called Debbie, who lives on a dairy farm in Kildare and ends up going to Trinity College. I wonder, where have we heard that before? There's echoes of Sally Rooney in there. But it's very much about the trauma of sort of leaving the nest, going to college, transitioning to Dublin, and everything that happens with that.
Will resonate with a lot of people, I'd imagine.
And it will, because it's quite layered, though, as well. I mean, she's dealing with a lot of other things, like sort of depression, mental illness. Her uncle Billy, who lives on the farm as well, lives in a caravan behind the house, and he drinks too much. So there's an awful lot going on in this book, but it's just a really lovely book from start to finish. It's, you know, it's love, it's family, it's depression, it's joy. It's definitely worth a read.
Okay. I'm going to start with you, Kevin, with your choice of Jonathan Franzen's Crossroads, because I love The Corrections, which is about 20 years old now at this stage. But then he brought another book out, I can't remember, it was 7 or 8 years ago. Even the name of it escapes me now, which I remember not being able to get through and had been put off the idea of trying Crossroads.
I think you should try it, especially if you like The Corrections. This is Crossroads. It's a family novel. Franzen writes family novels. You could say at this stage that he's plowing familiar enough territory. He writes 580-page novels. They're about American families, and that's his shtick. But I think it's an exceptionally good shtick, and I think Crossroads is his best novel since The Corrections. It's set in the early 1970s. It's about the family of a church pastor in a Chicago suburb. His name is Russ Hildebrandt. He is a fantastically narcissistic, self-justifying, and yet at the same time deeply ethically concerned kind of character. And the whole book is about how people negotiate their way, you know, through their ethical scruples to basically just do what they want anyway. And it's a very funny book. It's a book really intensely scrutinizes intensely family dynamics. And if you're in any way interested in the kind of secret horrors and justifications that kind of bubble beneath the surface of any family, this is a book for you.
Okay, I've just remembered Freedom was the one that I couldn't get through at the time. I think that might have been a disappointment between this and The Corrections, was it?
Yeah, I think looking back, I mean, it was a huge hit at the time, but I think, yeah, looking back, I think it's a weaker book. It kind of has some structural problems. The story doesn't quite add up, and then it has some quite cliched elements in it. There's a quite romanticized subplot about a young Indian woman who dies, and you know, it's slightly problematic, as we say nowadays in some ways. But Crossroads, for me, Crossroads was really a page turner. I sat down and only stopped when I was compelled to by my children, really, who demanded my attention, as they do.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a page turner.
Okay, Jonathan Franzen's Crossroads goes on my list of those that I must read over Christmas. I think, Breda, it's fair to say that you have a liking for crime thrillers and Irish ones in particular, don't you?
I love it. And I review crime novels for the Sunday Independent, so hence I end up reading an awful lot of crime and Irish crime. I love the Irish crime genre and the amount of women, female authors that we have writing in that genre. I don't really know what that says about them, but they are brilliant. We've got Liz Nugent, Catherine Ryan Howard, Sinead Crowley. There's just so many of them.
Well, go to Catherine Ryan Howard's 56 Days for me.
So Catherine Ryan Howard, she actually just won the Onpost Irish Book Awards as well for this book in the
crime
fiction
crime novel of the
category.
Year.
It is. She is just, she's so well known. She creates really high concept crime fiction plots. You get to the end of her book and you you go, oh my God, how did that happen? And you nearly want to go right back to the start to figure out really how she entrapped you. This one is absolutely no different. It's 56 Days. It was actually inspired by the pandemic. It centres on a couple called Kira and Oliver who started dating the same week that COVID hit, essentially. And as lockdown was happening, they decided, you know what, let's move in together. Let's see how it goes. So they did. Then the book opens with a body being found. No spoilers here. Body being found in Oliver's apartment, and we don't know who the body is, and we don't know who killed him. So the whole process is around, you know, did COVID actually create the perfect opportunity for somebody to commit the perfect murder?
Okay, so that's 56 Days by Catherine Ryan Howard. Your next choice is a book called Clara and the Sun, Kevin.
That's right. And it's by Kazuo Ishiguro. I mean, who needs no introduction? He's the author of Remains of the Day. He won the Nobel Prize a couple of years ago. He's also the author of an incredible novel called Never Let Me Go, which is, brings his kind of vision of emotional kind of repression and nuance into a slightly kind of science fictional world. And Clara and the Sun is very much kind of picks up on that. It's also essentially a science fiction novel. It's narrated by Clara, who is an artificial friend, a kind of android with limited emotional range and understanding, and she's bought by a family to act as a friend for her for their daughter who's ill. I don't want to spoil too much about it, because the way he sets up the plot is superb, and the way he develops it is really surprising. But Clara it develops a skewed perspective on human behavior, and it's an incredible way of revealing emotional undercurrents and behavioral kind of strangenesses about people, to see them through the perspective of this artificial girl. It's an absolutely beautifully written book and an incredibly moving one.
So that's Kazu Ishiguro, Clara and the Sun. Now, there's a book that you have on your list here, Breida, which is getting enormous attention, I see, outside of Ireland as well. There was a rave review in the Financial Times about it recently. Claire Keegan's Small Things Like These.
This is stunning, and I think it's probably my book of the year. And I actually only read it about 2 weeks ago, because it's not out that long. It's nearly like a novella, Matt. It is only about 100 pages and you'll absolutely fly through it. But again, one of those books that you'll want to read again and again. It's set in the early 1980s, small Irish town down in Wexford, the weeks leading up to Christmas. We focus on a man called Bill Furlong, who's a coal merchant and he's a family man. He lives with his wife and his five daughters. But one morning he has to deliver an order of coal up to the local convent. And what he finds there is quite disturbing, and he just can't get it out of his head. Now, no spoilers here either, but it turns out that essentially beside the convent is a mother and baby home and a Magdalene laundry. So it sort of follows his journey from that discovery up until what he does. And it's brilliantly written. It's really evocative. And again, just one of those books, I suppose, of its time at the moment, with so much talk about mother and baby homes. But absolutely read this and put it on your list this year.
Are you familiar with that one, Kevin?
No, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's only newly out, but I have heard incredible things, and Breida is further persuading me to give it a go.
Okay, Megan Nolan is your next choice. Acts of Desperation.
Yeah, this is the first novel. Megan Nolan was well known in certain circles for writing very, very intelligent, perceptive, and revealing personal essays. And this is her first novel. She's very young. She only turned 30 this year, and it is a novel. You know, it's been compared to Sally Rooney, and it's been compared to the other kind of young women writers who are writing about the experience of being a millennial woman, I suppose, to use that kind of cliche term. But this one stands out to me for being really a scouring emotional experience, a novel that puts you right in the center of a really toxic relationship. It's about a young woman. We don't know her name. She begins a relationship with a slightly older guy called Kieran. He's an art critic. I wonder if him being an art critic shouldn't be a warning sign in and of itself.
What do you mean by that, Kevin?
Nothing. I've been a critic myself. But yeah, it becomes a very kind of intimate, self-lacerating account of the ways in which we try to change ourselves for other people, the ways in which women are kind of forced to change themselves and abase themselves in a patriarchal society. And it's just, I sped through it, and for such a harrowing book, for a book that really is, it puts you through the emotional ringer. It's incredibly readable. It's very, very beautifully written, very sparely written, but incredibly perceptive and rich.
So that's Megan Nolan's book, Acts of Desperation. You have another crime book for us, Breda. You have Blood Ties by Brian McGilloway.
So Brian McGilloway is a Northern Irish crime author. He's actually written about 11 novels at this point, and this latest one is the latest in his Ben Devlin mysteries. Now, you don't have to have read the other ones to have read this one, which is great. It opens when Devlin is called to the scene of a murder. A man has been found stabbed to death. Turns out the man is identified as a guy called Brooklyn Harris, who's just out of prison after serving a 12-year sentence for sexually assaulting and beating a teenage girl to death. Now, that girl was called Hannah Rowe. And here's where the clincher is. There's a lot of suspects, obviously, for the murder, but the forensics come back and discover that the blood found on the dead man's body is actually a perfect match for the girl he actually killed 12 years ago. So it's a brilliant police procedural, great plot, absolutely worth diving into.
Okay. Now, Kevin, your own book, White City, is one that I've described to some people as sort of almost like an adult Ross O'Carroll Kelly in some respects. You have picked the Ross O'Carroll Kelly book by Paul Hard, Normal Sheeple. Tell us about this latest one. And what do you make of the way that Paul manages to keep it going with Ross O'Carroll Kelly annually?
This is the amazing thing, you know, the fact that, I mean, it took me, 5 years to write my novel, and it's still less funny and less entertaining than...
No, it's not. It's not. I'm telling you, your one is my book of the year.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. He is really a remarkable writer. And I mean that, I don't mean, you know, a remarkable popular writer or remarkable whatever kind of qualifications. He is just a remarkable writer because he has such a good ear for the ways Irish people speak and the way they think. And even though his plots can feel very broad, the comedy is very broad. I mean, in the new one, you know, Ross's dad, Charles O'Carroll Kelly, has become Taoiseach by nefarious means, and he's taken over Áras an Uachtaráin and kicked out Michael D, who has to live in the attic. And it's very broad, but at the same time, there's this really sharp cultural observational intelligence at work in these books. They are, you know, have kept them going for, it's 20 years now, or slightly longer than 20 years since he wrote the first Ross O'Carroll Kelly column for the old Sunday Tribune. And it is truly amazing that the quality is still so high. I laughed a lot reading Normal Sheeple.
We used to allow him to have 300 words in the sports section when he started off before we moved him to the main section of the paper back then. But it has come on so much. And tell us the Normal Sheeple thing. Is there stuff that people who may not have read even Normal People but may have seen the television adaptation will get the jokes on?
I think they will. I mean, the Normal People TV show was ubiquitous at one point. And I think, you know, even if you didn't kind of sit down and watch it all the way through, you will kind of get one of the main jokes in it, which is that Ross ends up in the Gael, so it's having a very Sally Rooney-esque kind of relationship with a teacher called Marianne. And the dialogue is a parody of the dialogue from Normal People. It's very, very funny.
I noticed neither of you have Sally Rooney on your list for her new book. Breda, to you first on that.
No, I don't. Why is that? I found the third one just a little bit... I wasn't mad about it. I actually wasn't mad about Normal People either when I wrote it initially. But
when you read it, you didn't write it.
I did read it, but...
Sorry, Normal People, I have to say, sorry, I actually did read it this year before the new book came out and sort of didn't expect to like, but I thought it was just so terrifically well written, so well observed. The characters I thought were so real. I was surprised by how much I like Normal People.
And this is why reading is brilliant, because it's so subjective. So something I might like, you won't, or literally the other way around. I saw the TV series, and after seeing that, I was sort of going, maybe, do you know what? I will go back and revisit. So that is the plan over Christmas.
Okay, but then the new book, the name of which escapes me at the moment, but you didn't like that as much.
No, I found it more of quite a stream of consciousness, I suppose. And it just didn't resonate with me as much as I thought and hoped that it would.
What about for you, Kevin? Did you try the new Sally Rooney novel, Beautiful World, Where Are You?
Yeah, I reviewed it for the Indo when it came out, and yeah, I thought there was loads of stuff to like in it. A lot of people, one of the main kind of strands in it is there are emails between the two kind of central female characters who are very close friends and email each other about their lives and about ideas. A lot of people seem to have found that not enjoyable to read. That was my favorite part. I thought it was great. I would have read a whole book of those emails. I thought they were really fun and full of ideas and well written. I thought that in the kind of last, say, quarter of the book, the plot just became quite sentimental and sort of fell apart a bit. I thought it had the feel of a kind of difficult second album. Even though it's a third novel, it felt a bit like that sort of Stone Rose's Second Coming, you know, that it had too many ideas thrown in and it wasn't kind of organically itself. That was my feeling about it.
Yeah, I still love Stone Rose's Second Coming. There you go.
So do I, but, you know, there's too many ideas. It's overproduced. I would argue.
Welcome back to our last word selection of the fiction books of 2021, those that you might like to buy for yourself or as a gift for this Christmas. And our reviewers this year, we're joined by Breda Brown, who is the presenter of the Inside Books podcast and is also the chair of the Irish Writers' Centre, and by the author Kevin Parr, author of White City, which would be definitely one of the best novel I've read this year. But let's go to other choices that you have. Breda, you've gone for one by Nuala O'Connor called Nora.
This is a reimagining of the life of Nora Barnacle, who's the wife of James Joyce. And remember, we probably all know about James Joyce, having, you know, grown up obviously in Ireland, but not that much about his wife. This book actually started out as a short story, and Nora says that she fell so in love with Nora that she wanted to develop it out. So what we have is a book that really explores their entire life, when they met, you know, the fact that they fell in love. They had a very nomadic life all across Europe. She had a pretty tough time with him, to be honest. Again, he was very creative. He drank a lot, but she was the one who was at home trying to pull everything together. So you get a really, as I said, it's a mix of fact and fiction, but you get a really good sense and insight into the relationship. And really, it's a love story, essentially, and the connection between them is really powerful. But Nuala is just brilliant. Her writing is fantastic. Again, this is historical fiction. It's so evocative, you know, the street names, the times. She seems to just really nail it. And again, when I started this book, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it, but by page two, I was absolutely loving it.
Okay, your next choice, Kevin, is a book by Lucy Caldwell, Intimacies.
Yeah, this is a collection of short stories. Lucy Caldwell is a Belfast writer. She won the Rooney Prize for Irish Literature a few years ago. She's written novels and she's been successful as a playwright. But I still think in terms of the kind of, you know, mainstream critical acclaim, she kind of flies under the radar a bit, and although that might be changing, she just won the BBC National Short Story Prize for a short story called All the People Were Mean and Bad, which actually is in the collection Intimacies, which came out this year. She's an absolutely phenomenal short story writer, and she does write, the title is well chosen. These are stories about intimate lives and intimate feelings. They're not overtly dramatic. There's no great showdowns in them. There's no, you know, peculiar plot twists or high concept stuff. She writes about the feelings we all have as we kind of go through our mundane lives, and she writes about them kind of so lucidly and movingly. The stories are really incredible. There's most of the stories in Intimacies are really about what it means to be a parent, what it means to kind of have small children. And one of the first story in the book about a kind of harried young mother, and she leaves her baby or seems to leave her baby with a friendly older woman in a cafe so that she can take her toddler to the bathroom to go to the loo, and it unfolds as this kind of nightmare after that, and just it does so much with the anxiety, the need, the stress and the confusion of being a parent of young children. It's really an extraordinary story in an extraordinary book.
Funny you mentioned children. One of the books that I enjoyed most during the year as well was Roddy Doyle's Life Without Children, a book of short stories as well. Did either of you get a chance to read that?
Haven't read it yet. No, it's still in the to-be-read pile over Christmas. I've high expectations of my Christmas break, let me tell you.
Indeed. You didn't get to read that one, Kevin?
No, again, yeah, hoping to get to that over Christmas if I can.
I'd recommend that. That certainly was one of the most enjoyable books of short stories that I've come across this year. Now, John Banville is always a great guest when we have him on the programme, Breida. He seems to have given up the Benjamin Black name, and he's just been prolific under his own name now. And you loved April in Spain.
April in Spain, why not? Read it in winter. It's the perfect transportation and escapism from winter. So, yeah, John started writing crime novels under the name Benjamin Black, but last year actually decided, why am I doing that? Why am I writing it under a different name? So now he's just gone back to all his work being under the name John Banville. So these centre, his crime novels centre on a pathologist called Quirk, set in 1950s Dublin, which again is brilliant. If you love history and you love Dublin, you'll just really enjoy these books. Anyway, in this one, Quirk goes on holiday with his new wife to San Sebastian in Spain. And naturally, Quirk being Quirk, he hates the heat. He hates the beach. He hates being anywhere that's not Dublin. However, when he's out and about one day, he spots a familiar face and he's totally thrown because the woman that he sees is supposed to be dead. And she's connected back to a huge political dynasty back in Dublin. And he's just wondering what is going on here. He makes a call back to Dublin. Detective St. John Strafford is dispatched to Spain to investigate. But there's also a hitman on the way to Spain at the same time.
Okay, sounds like good fun. All right, okay. Your next choice, Kevin, maybe I should have brought this up on earlier when we were talking about Sally Rooney. Emma Ryan, Holding Our Breath.
Yeah, I think this is another novel that has somewhat fallen under the shadow of Sally Rooney, although it's quite different to what Sally Rooney's doing. Emma Ryan, again, quite a young writer. She has published a few short stories over the last few years, and I have been reading them as they came along and kind of expecting that her first novel would be really good. And I wasn't disappointed. It is really, really, really good. It's again, it you know, you could dismiss it as Trinity Lit, as part of this new wave of fiction by young women writing about going to Trinity, but it would be a pity to pigeonhole it in that kind of mold. It's about Beth Crow, who is a Trinity student. She's also a kind of former swimmer who had kind of great promise and great ambition as a swimmer, but is kind of in disgrace for reasons we don't really know at the start of the book. She's also the granddaughter of a famous Irish poet, sort of a darker Seamus Heaney, like an edgier Seamus Heaney, who has committed suicide and who has left behind a kind of tangled legacy both in the work and in the life. And while Beth is at Trinity, she meets a young kind of hotshot lecturer who is an expert on her grandfather's work. And to say that they become involved is probably even saying too much, but it's, you know, because I don't want to spoil what is quite a beautifully engineered plot, but it's just such a beautifully composed novel. I think I read it in two sittings. It's so smoothly built and engineered that you just fly through it. And again, it's funny, it's dark, it's unexpected. It's a really, really good book.
That's Emma Ryan, Holding Her Breath. Breida, The Murder Box by Olivia Kiernan.
Olivia Kiernan, another crime title, and she has a detective chief superintendent called Frankie Sheehan, who runs the Bureau for Serious Crime in Dublin. She's investigating the disappearance of a well-known television celebrity called Teddy Dolan, and they're trying to figure out how to progress the case. Anyway, one day a murder mystery game is delivered to Frankie, and she actually just assumes that it's a birthday gift from one of her colleagues. But as she starts going through it, she realises that actually it bears a very striking resemblance to a murder victim. The murder victim in the game bears a striking resemblance to a 22-year-old who was only reported missing that morning. So at that point, the game is on. Again, another just clever, original, high-concept story. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, now your next choice, Kevin, you have Lauren Euler, Fake Accounts.
Yeah, this is, again, a first novel by a young millennial woman. This is, Lauren Euler is very, very well known in kind of critical circles as a critic, as quite a combative critic. And this is her first novel. It's a kind of comedy about the internet, about how we live online. It's about a young woman who, again, in the quite a toxic relationship I think he's an artist and not an art critic, which, you know, means it differs slightly from the Megan Nolan scenario. But Lauren Euler's book is much stranger and much funnier. It's a very dark comedy. Her boyfriend, she finds out, has been living a secret life as an online conspiracy theorist. He runs Instagram accounts about, you know, September 11th was a fraud, all this kind of stuff. Then just as she's about to confront him about this, he dies in a cycling accident, and she doesn't know how to feel. So she upsticks, goes from Brooklyn to Berlin, and in Berlin starts to create her own fake lives online, starts going on dates with men as different personalities that she's cooked up on Tinder. And it becomes a very odd kind of tour through what we make of ourselves on the internet. You know, the title is Fake Accounts. Do we give fake accounts of ourselves online? Do we do that in real life? There's some very funny stuff in this book. It's hard to convey quite how the humor works. It's a very American book, if that's not a kind of useless description. It's a book that talks about identity in a way that I feel is quite American. But I think it would resonate quite a lot with anyone who's spent a lot of time on the internet.
Okay, that does sound very interesting. Your next one, Breda, is The Last Thing to Burn by Will Dean.
Will Dean is a British novelist. He lives in Sweden. He's actually written the best-selling series about the detective Tuva Moodysson. This one, though, brings him back to the UK, and it's quite different. It's very much, you know, it's based about a woman who's been held captive on a remote farm in England. Now, what happened here is the farmer actually bought her as a migrant, treats her as his wife. She has to do exactly what he tells her to do. So it's a very difficult book to read, actually, and it's quite claustrophobic because it's set in sort of one location, the farm. And we're sort of following her then to try and figure out, will she be able to escape or not? Again, it's one of those books that you just get really drawn into, and you get to the middle of the book, because it is a one location plot, you get to the middle of it and sort of go, where is this going to go? And then suddenly everything turns on its head, goes in a totally different direction, and it's brilliant.
Okay. Kevin, your last choice is one, I think, by the English journalist Giles Foden.
Yeah, Giles Foden, he's probably best known for writing the book The Last King of Scotland about Idi Amin's fictional personal doctor. And it was made into quite a good film with James McAvoy and Forest Whitaker. That was a number of years ago. Now,
it was an Oscar-winning movie. Danny Boyle directed it.
That's right. Yeah, it's a really good film. It's a really good book, too. And it is, Freight Dogs has been quite long in the writing, I think. It's a while since Foden's last book. It's a very ambitious book. It's a big, long adventure novel in some ways with some very deep and serious themes. It's about a teenage boy named Manu who's caught up in the very complex wars that take place in what is now the Democratic Republic of the Congo. At the time it was called Zaire, so this is the early 1990s, and the book takes Manu through kind of roughly 10 years of that war, and during this time he grows up, he is taken under the wing of a kind of cocky, dissolute pilot who runs cargo in and out of the African war zones, and you know, he learns to be a pilot himself. And it's a book that does something I really love a novel to do, which is kind of teach you a complex history as well as tell you a very gripping story. And it's obviously Foden, he knows Africa very well, he grew up there, and he's incredibly good at untangling what can be a very, very complex sequence of events as kind of people change sides and massacres are perpetrated and nobody knows who's responsible, all this kind of stuff. I really enjoyed it. I found it stuck with me. And as I was reading it, I was kind of thinking, oh, this is almost too much an adventure novel. Once I put it down and kind of a few weeks and months afterward, I found that I kept thinking about it and realized that Foden had just done a really good job of involving me in the world and in creating these characters. Yeah, it's a really, really good book.
That's Freight Dogs by Giles Foden. To finish, Peter Brown, you have a bit of a cheat because we wanted you to get new books, but you've given us a novel that's a couple of years old on the basis that it's been turned into a TV series that's very popular on Netflix, but you think the book is better.
The book was fantastic. So this is The Chestnut Man. It only arrived on Netflix there a couple of months ago and people have been talking about it. And a lot of people don't realise it's actually based on a novel of the same name. It's written by a guy called Søren Vestrup, and he actually worked in television for years. He was the creator and the writer of the Scandinavian TV series The Killing, which a lot of people will be familiar with. But the book is just, and the book was a debut, and I was reading it going, I can't believe this is a debut, because it's so visual, probably because of his TV background. But basically it's about a psychopath who's terrorising Copenhagen. The calling card is a little chestnut man, which is a handmade doll which is made of matchsticks and chestnuts, and he leaves those at the crime scene. So look, yes, you can watch the thing that's on Netflix, but please buy the book. It's brilliant.
Okay. And his name is Søren
Vestrup, Sveistrup.
Okay, what we will do is we will put the list of all of the novels that have been mentioned by both Breida and Kevin up on the Today FM website at the Last Word page. And if you missed this, if you came in late and you want to listen to this back, we will put it up as a podcast as well. It's the first of our series of book reviews of 2021. Next Thursday, we will be doing non-fiction books. The Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, who does that for us every year, will be back. And this year, he will be joined by Stephanie Preisner to go through those books. We will also do sports books. There's, again, the usual selection of great sports books for us to go through. Not sure yet what date we have for that. And we will do cookbooks and, who knows, we might find other categories as well between now and Christmas of books that we will review as the best of 2021. Kevin Parr, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. White City is Kevin's 2021 novel, which I loved. And Breida Brown is the presenter of Inside Books podcast and is chair of the Irish Writers' Centre. Thank you to both of you. OK, that's it for today's programme. Big thank you to my production team, Liz O'Neill, Orla Cardy, Aveen Meehan, and also to Stephen McLoone for looking after the sound. Pamela Joyce is up next, and we'll have loads for you tomorrow, including the week trending from 4:30 and the Last Word in Sport from 6:00. Until then, from me, Matt Cooper, have a very, very good evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.